I'd like to call the regular meeting of the Park and Rec Commission to order at 6:36. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gloria, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Commissioner Barlow is no longer.
He's here.
He's absent. Okay. He's still on?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Okay.
Tough.
Oh, no, I think she thought he won, but he didn't win.
Oh, okay. Commissioner Beaufrey?
Yes.
Absent.
He's absent.
Vote.
Commissioner Carver?
Here.
Commissioner Chase?
Present.
No, you gotta do it. Commissioner Hillman?
Here.
Commissioner Mathewson?
Here.
Commissioner Plikas?
Here.
Commissioner Schober?
Here.
Commissioner Stone?
Present.
I think
wrong.
So.
Wrong.
You couldn't follow.
No.
I can't.
Come on.
Listen, he's outside the box. He's thinking outside the box.
Any alterations to the agenda? Okay, remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda. Remarks from the public? Remarks from the public. Okay, our first order of business, we're going to have a presentation from Girl Scout Troop 63042 about adding some ferry houses along one of our hiking trails. So you can go up to the podium, please. And just state your name, and then the floor is yours.
My name is Emmeline Pedroso, and that's E-M-M-E-L-I-N-E. And I'm asking to, as you know, to...
No. Leave him alone.
And as you know, we're asking to install a ferry trail on the hiking trail on one of the hiking trails in Camp Oakdale. So one thing that I would like to bring into that is like maybe an interactive, like, we could get little fairy figurines and place them around the trail and put up a sign, look for these and these and so on, fairies. And I think that maybe it'll give the public just fun, like, especially for younger kids and stuff. And also, it might, like, encourage teamwork. Like, say you just don't even know some random person, but you happen to wonder to yourself, where is so-and-so fairy, and then they might tell you. So I think it would be good for the community and make hiking fun.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jasmine Clark, and like Emmy said, we would like to put fairy houses on the Orange Trail at Camp Oakdale Fields. I was thinking more of like interactive build your own fairy village where they can use natural items to decorate like basic pots so that they can feel what it's like to enjoy building the fairy houses that we're going to put in there. It'll help with getting more people outside. They'll be more exposed to the environment and fresh air. And most people, when we did them at the library, really enjoyed them.
Thank you. Thanks.
Do we want to ask any questions at this time, or anybody have any comments?
How big is a fairy house?
Well, that's
Tinkerbell size.
So I think thank you for talking. I think we'd like to probably see what you had in mind. You know, we don't know what a fairy house looks like.
Speak for yourself.
I'm sorry.
What do you mean you don't know what a fairy house looks like?
I don't know what a fairy house looks like either.
And thank you for identifying the orange trail. We know what trail that is. So typically something like this, we'd almost, and I'm not telling you what to do, and stop me if I'm saying too much, but I think we'd like to maybe see where you would want to put them on that orange trail and what they look like. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but I know maybe some have a better understanding of what you're talking about than others. Am I out of order here? Does that sound like a reasonable request?
Yes.
I mean, is that something you think you could do? And, you know, you all don't have to come back. If you can get that information together and get it to the director, Bushway, he can present it back to us, and then I would say at the next meeting we could take this up, if that sounds reasonable.
I think if I could...
If you had a little, this is what a fairy house is.
We have pictures from the library. Mm-hmm. We had a couple scenes that we made. So that's why I'm asking, what would you want? Because
we would want, those pictures would be fine. Uh-huh. And then
is the fairy village still at the library?
No, it was only there for the season that we did it. And then it was dismantled at the end of the season so that it would not interfere with any of the maintenance work on the grounds. The original plan was to return to the library. Unfortunately, the executive board vetoed the return of the fairy houses, so we put it on hold and were brainstorming ideas that we could bring it back because it was so well received from the public at the library. They were very well loved.
Okay.
Also why it was dismantled at the end of the season.
So again, maybe send Pete the pictures of that, and then you want to put 30 of them or 20 of them or 10 along the orange trail.
Perhaps,
that should be enough for us.
I don't know if we need to know exact locations or anything.
Just a number.
But maybe a sense of, you know, how they're built. Would they stay there permanently, or you know what the intent
yeah the
is?
Girls haven't dived really far deep into it because it's a very big rabbit hole that they would thoroughly enjoy.
Yeah,
but it didn't make sense if we didn't know if we were going to be able to do it.
Oh, we're certainly willing to to hear more about it and to pursue it. We're just, I think most of us aren't really sure what we're talking about.
Correct. It's hard to approve something when you really don't know what it is.
That's fine. So if I understand correctly, then you would want to see maybe a layout of the trail where we're proposing to do some things. I'm not even that much
well,
detail.
Just like what a fairy village like actually looks like.
Looks like, and then again, I don't know. Are they on pose? We have no idea what they are.
And if you want to put like 8, 10, like
yep,
like a roundabout number of what you're looking to put.
Okay.
And what you mean by them using things from the trail to like enhance that.
I don't know what that means. In that part of it.
Like
too.
I don't know.
Neat idea.
I'm really ashamed to say this. I have two daughters and I have no idea what you're talking about. But like how that would work, I guess, is what I'm kind of asking.
That idea stemmed from the fact that the scenes that were put together at the library were automatically interactive by our younger individuals that were utilizing the library, so they were played with, they were rearranged. So their idea right now would be to create the scenes that they didn't really want too many people playing with a little bit further back, where there would be some that, because we found some clearing areas that were already pre-existing along that trail, but then intentionally creating areas where littles could intentionally interact and do their own thing.
Like
but
sticks,
the details,
flowers, like sticks, flowers, leaves, that's what you might interacting like.
Maybe some twigs, maybe some pre-painted pots, some figurines, essentially creating an environment where people, most likely small children, would be rearranging it on the regular basis.
It sounds like an idea that most of us would be more on board with if it involved, you know, natural materials and things like that, as opposed to, you know, bright plastic or... you know, that sort of thing. And that's not a matter of, you know, necessarily our personal preferences, but just out of regard for the people who enjoy the trails and the natural situation they
well, and that is a question that we need the commission or whoever ends up working with us, if this goes to the next step, where that line is, because there is obviously a lot of flexibility in what the girls propose and what we do based on the restriction. Because even in Girl Scouts, we have the idea of leave no trace. And for example, on hiking trails, there is a huge debate even with painted rocks. There's a lot of the population that absolutely loves them. And then there's another subset of the population that despises them, because obviously that is man-made, it is brought in, and it's altered. It's not 100% natural.
I look forward to seeing a picture of what it would look like, and if the girls can work with you to maybe just write up a few paragraphs to describe what, you know, your intention is.
And just a little more detail.
And that's fine. We didn't really know what you guys needed, and obviously this is their project, so this is what...
They'll get some writing practice, and like I said, if you get it to Pete, I can get it to all the commissioners, and if we had any more questions, we could get back to you.
Okay.
All right.
Do you think you'd put any signifiers to indicate that it's meant to be there, so like no public works folks would come and maybe pick up the whatever pots or whatever might be there to make sure it doesn't get taken away?
Depending on what restrictions and what ultimately the material goals are, would determine how that question is answered.
Lovely.
Because we could look into some permanent signage that maybe is attached to a tree or something to put on notice that, hey, this is like a fairy lane, fairy trail, whatever you want to call it, versus just leaving it as natural as possible.
Perfect. Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rocky, I might ask, while the girls are still here, are there any questions that they might have at this time that would help them in the developing of their proposal that we could give them any further guidance on?
You can ask them.
Feel free. With the chair's permission. I'm just wondering if the Girl Scouts have any... In going back to the drawing board a bit and preparing a proposal, do you have any questions at this point that we could help you with or give you some guidance
this
on?
This is one in Rhode Island.
Do you want to just wait?
That's not what they're talking about.
Huh?
No.
I was trying to figure Nintegrat.
I saw those.
Yeah.
Is what materials the preference would be to be used? Because, for example, and I have the pictures on my phone if you want to see them tonight. Otherwise, I can forward them to Peter. But in that particular instance, we were using wood, we were using leaves, we were using acorn caps. There was man-made items, glue, terracotta pots. I had littles. We had little daisies that had the gemstones. That's a natural material. So that's why those things were added in that instance, because they were not as keen to make it 100% natural. Whereas there are lots of examples that you can use more natural materials, but in a lot of those cases, they are still using things like glue that isn't exactly natural, because we haven't gone, you know, to pitch and all of those alternatives.
Well, it sounds as though this exchange has been a little bit useful tonight, and we'll look forward to learning more about it.
So would it be useful if the girls literally kind of propose what they have in their mind right now using the materials that they are thinking of right now, and then we get feedback on that, perhaps?
Well, I think without any, I mean, we know nothing about what these are. So, I mean, I think we need to take a step here to maybe get some information so we understand better what a fairy house is. And again,
I think everybody's homework tonight is to go home and watch Tinkerbell.
I think so if you just Google fairy houses, you'll get lots of fun ideas.
I was going to say, pretend that we don't know anything about these, but you don't have to pretend.
You don't have to pretend in this instance. So, no, I think if you sent some pictures, I mean, do you have pictures of what you said you had this up to Raymond Library?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you have any pictures?
I have those pictures.
I would take those if you can forward those to Pete, and then Pete can send them to us. And then again, I don't know, do you end up setting up stations along the trail? Like, you know, there'll be 10 fairy houses along the trail? Or,
they haven't dived that deep, mostly because I've reined them in because we didn't know if we could move forward with it. So,
and it was mentioned, if it may, about, you know, the girls maybe expressing what their own ideas are. Write it up in the form of individual paragraphs or so, and more than happy to take a look at it and see. We really would appreciate that.
I dropped off some windows, like you said. I dropped off some windows that day.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Like, you know, you just had
thank you very much.
Whatever building you want, they were a complete window. By the time I emptied my truck, came back. They weren't there.
You're more than welcome to stay, but I understand if you all have to move on. All right, thank you. Next order of business. A presentation from Dennis Godere. Is that correct? Thank you. From Land Use and Development on Connecticut Recreation Trails grant application.
Dennis Godere, Director of Land Use and Planning for here in the town of Montville. We are, and some of you may already know, pursuing a grant for the study, do a feasibility study for a multi-use path that would extend from the renovated boat launch and fishing pier area over 32, utilize to the extent practical and possible, the abandoned rail line that parallels 163 heading into Palmertown over to Bridge Street, and then also understand the feasibility of continuing such a trail out towards Fair Oaks, the rec area, and the schools. In the plan of conservation and development, the area where the schools are and in the rec complex has identified the desire for doing such. When I first started, I've been here for about a month now, shortly before I started, the mayor, Mayor Bunnell, took me on a little tour around town, and he had explained how there was a vision of maybe having a trail utilizing the former rail bed. And lo and behold, I happened to be poking around and noticed that there's a grant round open from the Connecticut DEEP through their Connecticut Recreation Trails Program, which will fund planning, design, and or construction of the trails. So it'll fund educational outreach as well. So we decided to pursue this. The council had endorsed or passed a resolution last Monday in support, which is required for submitting on the grant. We are asking the state for $80,000 to conduct this feasibility study. The town will be matching it with $15,000 of funds, and then $5,000 of matching staff time, which would be my time, on management and helping with some of the planning. In addition to the land multi-use path, which maybe we'll incorporate some areas for ferry houses on the side, but we have a blue way that we're looking at along the Thames River, which would extend from the boat launch area up the river, perhaps ending at Fort Shantock. We've talked with the Mohegan tribe. They are supportive would work with us on identifying locations that they have that might be points of access for paddlers on canoes or kayaks as well. And in my mind, I kind of see this perhaps being a vision going all the way up into Norwich Harbor and being a tourist amenity as well as being attractive for residents as well. for an alternative, unique experience, I guess you could say. But it's the study that's also part of this grant request, is to study at a very high level the feasibility and the opportunities there. And I am here before you to ask for the commission's support so we can include that, include your support in our application to Connecticut Deep. And that application is going in on December 18th is the date it's due. So, and your packet shows sort of the routing. It's the same packet that the town council received last week. And I am happy to entertain any questions.
Commissioner Matheson, you're looking at the old railway that's down near like the old Smurfit Stone, right? Rock 10, that area.
I'm not sure.
Down near the boat launch, the cemetery, yes. Is that still Rock 10?
Along, I think it's Horton Cove. It loops up and around, and then crossed. Crosses 32 eventually.
Okay.
Here, just north of the Route 32 and 163 intersection. Then the rail spur continues along and goes past DPW facility. Actually goes underneath the highway where the Oxabaxa River is.
Yeah.
Where Brook is.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
Morgan, you have a look of not remembering it, but.
I'm just, because my family used to work down at Smurfit Stone, so.
Now, there used to be tracks that ran
63 yeah. Maple, like behind the
yeah.
Polish Club,
yeah.
Like that area.
Okay,
there's
all right.
Various ownership,
yeah.
Owners involved, you know, and then 163 is there, 32 is there, so that's part of the feasibility of this. One other item, and we are submitting, and I know Peter's working on a grant for the SIF grant. We're also submitting a planning grant. For the Civic Campus here, but that it also includes streetscape and intersection design work on 32. That's also related in that intersection design, if we were to be awarded it, would also be taking into consideration how do you get a trail across? How do you get people safely across? And then there's the multi-use trail that the town's envisioned on 32, which was denied by DOT because there wasn't a plan to address the intersection. We hope to address the intersection so that multi-use path as well can become funded.
And this would be a paved?
Paved. The ideal is a 10-foot wide paved path allowing two-way traffic for bikers, runners, walkers, skateboarders, rollerbladers.
Okay.
And to understand what a blue way is, this is like a...
Like a greenway, but it's on the water.
In the water. So
yeah.
You would, between access points where you could take your canoe or kayak or something, you would then proceed
yeah.
along the
I
water.
I mean, it's kind of there already. People can go and do it, but it's part of it is also interpretive and storytelling and
yes.
telling the history and talking with the Mohegan tribe, they didn't say what the stories were, but there's so many stories they said that also could be told. It could be exciting, and to go all the way up to Uncas Leap, in Norwich Harbor, could become a unique amenity. But that's part of testing it out to see the feasibility of
That seems like something that's particularly achievable because the use of the river is not a problem. It's simply the access points. And I'm always amazed at people who have never had the opportunity to take a boat along the Thames River and see things from that perspective. This would make that more possible for even greater numbers of people, I would think, and it seems like a great idea. So the idea is you're looking for this commission to say that we support this.
Yes, that's straightforward.
Would the chair entertain a motion?
Well, so I was just looking ahead, if we, our next meeting's not till the 17th of December, which is a day before this would have to be submitted, and I don't think that's probably enough time for our motion to help you at all. Do you think we can cobble together? I mean, this is a good thing. I'm not going to... I have some mixed feelings about it, only because of past history.
I thought you might bring that up, Rocky, and I don't know if tonight's, you know, the time we would have to resolve that sort of thing. I guess, if I may, for the benefit of the director of planning, a couple years ago there was a proposal from a Boy Scout to construct a trail on some town-owned land over by the public safety facility, and he came, he made a presentation, it was a great idea. And then we wound up after that into a bit of a confused state as to what constitutes the recreational facilities of the town over which this commission has, under the town charter, control and responsibility and so forth. And so maybe down the road that might be something to iron out, but I think what you're just looking for tonight is for purposes of showing support in your grant application
of the
town council, of this commission and others is necessary, that that a general statement of support would be sufficient.
Correct. And if we are fortunate to receive the grant, the consultant would go out for an RFP to hire a consultant that has expertise in planning and design of such a facility. And they would be working and engaging leaders of the community on the trail, the function of it, the maintenance of it, who's the most appropriate. That'll start engaging in getting that conversation going.
Yeah.
So we're not that the support in no way would I imply that it's saying that, you know, we want it, we'll take ownership of it, we'll maintain it type of a thing. But it's really to get the ball rolling.
Right. Seems like none of those things have to be worked out, you know, tonight. Rocky, does that help at all in terms of your understanding?
You know, doesn't really matter. Can this be as simple as a motion to support the submission of the Connecticut Recreational Trails Grant application?
That is exactly what I was hoping you would do. Yes.
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you, and I'll take the meeting notes. Wait, the meeting minutes when they're done.
Sorry. Motion approved?
She needs to have it spoken.
You need the text?
Yeah.
Slower? Motion to support the submission of the Connecticut Recreational Trails Grant application.
Thanks.
All right. Dennis,
thank
you very much. Welcome to Montville. And,
thank you.
Thank you.
We need you. Okay. Thank you, everybody. To consider and act on a motion to approve the meeting minutes of September 17th, 2025.
As amended.
As amended, sorry about that.
It was amended.
So moved. Oh, we have to move on it? Is it discussion? So moved.
Commissioner Matheson seconds.
That was Commissioner Carver at first.
I said my name. Did good.
We know Kate wants to get out of here. So. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
Beat you.
Recreation Director's Report for November 2025.
So the first item on your list there is the Community Investment Fund grant that I am working on and have been for quite some time now. Again, when we opened up the round 8, there were quite a few things in there that did not appear in round 7. So that's kind of put me back a little bit. But one of those things, as Dennis just mentioned, is a support letter from this board for this grant application as well. We're also getting them from our legislative group and the Mohegan Tribe and the town council. So if we could have a motion for that as well, that would be wonderful. And for those of you who weren't able to go to Trick or Trunk, it was packed again. 984 children went through, just under 2,500 folks in total. And it was a little bit chillier than it was the year before, but we survived.
Yeah, I would say it's the best event I've been part of. It was great.
Yeah, our biggest one was probably another
eight or nine more.
The help at that one.
Yeah, the COVID one was pretty cool.
The car. Yeah.
But this was really good, and it was cold.
A little chilly. and basketball has been going on all week. We started Monday, 6 o'clock, and we've gone all this week with it. So once we have the evaluation for the kids, I put the teams together, then I come back the next day, send out the rosters, come up with a practice schedule and a game schedule. We'll begin practicing December 1st. So that's also taking up a lot of time. For those of you who haven't seen the seal coating, it looks good. It didn't go all that smoothly, but part of that was due to weather. We had rain. It got wet.
I was just at the Public Works meeting, and I brought up that grass is already coming through some of the cracks. It's not even a month old.
No.
And then I mentioned, and I think I had mentioned this to you, Pete. I made the Public Works Director aware of it, and the Chair, Billy Caron, and Kate also kind of agreed, and the Mayor. There's arrows there, directional arrows. The very right-hand lane is like a return. The middle lanes are left in a, you know, both direction. The very right-hand lane is entrance. The arrows are pretty small. So I've asked if they look at seeing if they can make the arrows bigger. And then when you drive into the lot, there's no arrow right there to kind of get you going in the right direction. And the mayor noted that also.
These are arrows on the pavement surface.
On the pavement themselves, yeah.
I would imagine, John, you probably know there are standards for those, I would think.
Yeah, they're pretty much standardized.
These are probably 2 feet, maybe. They're pretty small.
Yeah.
And they're not very noticeable.
It seems that in any ordinary roadway situation, they're much bigger, and that, again, if the...
And I kind of, you know, I apologize, because we looked at the plans for these, and I didn't notice the size of the arrows.
As a matter of fact, to carry the point a little further, as John would probably agree also, that it's probably ultimately to the, it wouldn't necessarily inure to us in any liability way, but to the town in general, I think that the interests of avoiding difficulties would be best served by following those standards as opposed to...
DOT has, like, you know, standard, they just... Everywhere they go, it's the same size.
Can they be made bigger?
No, I don't think anybody's going to be against it. But the standard size, you know, is a big arrow.
Now, it's quite a bit bigger from what Rocky's describing.
These are not very noticeable. And it's been observed by people are coming in and actually heading right up the return.
Does the town have standard stencils?
They may. I'll get back to John. Because
they may already have the stencils, and you just go out there and paint along.
I would think.
John did say that he has stencils.
Yeah, so they'll. Yeah. He has to abide.
His might be smaller, though, so we probably want to ask the question.
Well, whatever he does on the town roads, I think, are probably, if we followed a similar... the same size, the same stencils, I think, rather than sort of making up our own.
The town has to comply. So
yeah,
he should already have them.
Let's be completely honest. All right, you can continue, Pete. Sorry.
And the holiday parade, of course, is coming up quickly. We already have probably half dozen to 10 applications in, which is nice. Again, the community sing will be in this chamber starting at 3:30 with the high school. The band is actually going to play in front of the entrance to Town Hall from 4:30 to 5. One of the units in the parade is pulling a gooseneck trailer with the band Red Light on it. So they'll be playing up at the staging area near Montville Funeral Home and as well as on the way here. So that's new for us, which is great. I already have the giveaways for the town council. They're in my office. So they'll be handing those out as they walk down the parade unit, parade route. So that's about it, since we have quite a long agenda tonight that we need to get through, and Kate's waiting for the UConn game.
It's already started.
Pete, you said something about looking for a motion in support.
Yeah,
we'll get to it later. It's okay. On the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
One.
Report from finance. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Morgan.
No, it just volunteers. What time do you need us up there?
3 o'clock for the staging area.
Okay.
And then we'll need a couple of judges as well. So 2-3 people at the staging area and a couple of judges. And then the rest I can take care of here.
Okay.
Arlo and I won't be attending this year. I have a wedding to go to that day.
Oh.
Be away.
Sunday? That's a
nice day.
The 17th?
You'll be away?
The 17th?
Seventh.
The
7th? I'll be 7th. There.
Anything else? Sorry.
No.
All right. Report from finance.
Yeah, they had been in the middle of their audit. So when I got this yesterday afternoon, I was like, what in the? They pretty much stuck anything to do with recreation that's ever been done in the town on our report. So I asked Patrick, said, don't do that again, please. And he said, well, it was such short notice here, short time he had turned around. He just sent it without looking at it all that closely. But for the most part, we're halfway through the year. We're halfway spent, which is ideal. Then, of course, the special revenue account has started to build up again, which is always nice. And I can tell you that the single page where it has the end of year balance for fund 079 Parks and Recreation, it has the ending balance as of June 30th at 72,841, and then you see the fiscal year, the total income, the total revenue was $144,421.50. We spent $139,13.57. So as of July 1st, there was $86,000 in there, and now there's about $88,000 there.
And just so you're aware, we don't have any requests yet, but the Public Works meeting, someone's supposed to send us the estimate for the privacy fence.
The windscreen.
The windscreen.
Yeah, for pickleball courts. Yeah.
So
it's about $4,000.
So that is probably something that they'll be looking for us to support and fund. And what was the second thing? They have to run electricity to the new storage shed. Believe it or not, they're putting a storage building out there, and it's a storage building. It has no electricity. So they're... it was just what was in the budget. So the Public Works can run the conduit, you know, into the building and stuff, but at some point they're going to have to hire an electrician to do all that, and they may be coming to us for that. So I just want to let you know we have no requests at this time, but that came up in the meeting today. So any questions?
Is the otherwise, other than electricity, is the maintenance building finished at this point?
So the maintenance building, I think I have that on here. We can talk about it a little later.
Okay.
Yep, that's on here.
Okay. So we have a maintenance bill without lights.
Excuse me?
We have a maintenance building without lights.
Okay. Yeah. Again, it's funding. It's the everything is getting so expensive to do, you know. So they had probably some estimate by the time you go through the process, get the bids out, get the bids back, your bids are no good, and everything's more expensive. So now they started cutting back and
cut it by 20 feet. So it was supposed to be
bids
much
are good
larger.
For 90 days, basically. Yeah.
Cut it by 20 feet. They took out a retaining wall. You know, just all kinds of stuff. And we could talk a little bit about it more in a minute. All right, December newsletter.
Yeah, doesn't that look pretty? The next thing that's starting up is on page 2 is our scavenger hunt, which has been pretty popular, at least with the small businesses and the families. We get requests every year from people we haven't used before, say, can I get a bear? The hard part is getting it back from them. They want to keep it, and, you know, 50 bears aren't cheap, so I get them back. Except for the one at Critical Printing. They still have theirs for some reason. I'm not sure why. Volleyball started, of course. It's been going great guns. The holiday light contest, we already have 2 folks into that already. We usually get about 20 to 25 folks there. We have 2 more our flower arranging classes to go. And then in January, we'll be starting up our first and second grade basketball. So we are not sitting around doing anything, or nothing, I should say, but it's been very busy. And our community booklet is due for the January to April through April months is due next Wednesday. So I've got pretty much most of that completed. It's nothing special, nothing sticking out like a sore thumb or anything, nothing new. Pretty much the same old programs are listed in there. We are having somewhat of a difficult time getting information from a couple of our vendors. They haven't thought that far ahead as far as January through through end of April. So, but other than that, we'll put in what we have. That's all you can do. And, of course, on the front page is the QR code for the town's app. Been using that quite a bit, sending out information. I'll be doing it tomorrow morning again for the basketball tryouts for the 7th and 8th grade boys and girls. We did it for the trick or trunk. We'll do it for the parade and anything else that happens to come up. So evidently people are using it quite often.
So I wanted to use that as a segue, and I wish the mayor was here. So, Kate, maybe you can pass some of this on. So I handed out this little sheet here that had I think all of us here, and again, please stop me at any time if you think I'm out of order. We've been talking for multiple years about social media and advertising of our programs. You know, using whether it's Facebook or things like that to get the word out about our programs. Pete mentioned about the new app. The new app has a banner up top, like when a road's closed, it tells you. If you look at our town website, there's a couple banners at the top of that with current news. I've always had a problem. I don't think we use social media enough. What I put together was basically this is a year's worth of income from our programs. Dance program brought in about $60,000. This doesn't say what we pay out. Gymnastics about $24,000. Karate $4,000. Yoga $1,600. Basketball $12,000. And we don't advertise this to me fairly or equitably. I did last 2 months, I did a quick on the Park and Recreation Facebook page. In October, there's 31 days in October. For the whole month, there was only 9 posts made on the Facebook page. 6 of them were about trick-or-trunk, 2 of them were about pumpkin decorating, and 1 for flowers. There wasn't a word about any of our programs. Not a peep. So far, we're halfway through November, 19 days. There's been 8 posts, 9 actually, because there was 1 made today. Of the 9 posts, 7 were about basketball. 1 was about gymnastics, 1 about flowers. So there hasn't been a post about our dance class, yoga class, gymnastics program, nothing. So I don't know what we can do about that. So I've said my piece. I wanted the mayor to hear this. We need to get better advertising our programs.
I think that goes back to exploring having an intern from a local college, even not a local college, who is majoring in social media management, doing an internship. This is what they do. This is what they want to do for their living. I think we need to explore that, and that's what they do. That's their job. That's their passion.
It might be tough to sell that on an individual level. I know if I was a local student, I'd rather pull out my teeth than do social media for one department in one town. You might be able to better sell it by working with a regional organization like CCOG and getting the intern sponsored through their group and have the kid do social media for towns around.
Well, so the problem is, we can't do a thing.
That's
it's
true.
Not us. We've been telling the people who need to do something about it, and they're not doing anything about it. So we actually had a committee at one time that we got so frustrated about, we said, forget it. But
Rocky,
it's not that hard to set something up and push a button and let it run all day long. This is what our programs are. It's not that hard. And we need to get that done. Yes, Kate, you are recognized.
Thank you. So, you know, I do a lot on social media, as we all know. And, you know, there is a way that you could load everything up, preload it up ahead of time so you don't have to worry about it every day. So, you know, there's options there. And, you know, then it doesn't become, you know, you sit down for an hour and a half, you load it all up for the week, and it's ready to go.
And here it's I thought hard. You just sat there and pressed the button.
Yeah. So, Rocky and I have had this conversation more than once.
I'm just frustrated by it.
Because an algorithm, it's all about the algorithm. An algorithm on Facebook doesn't get better without consistent posting daily.
And, you know, and the reason I, sorry, thank you, Kate. And the reason I brought it up during this, the newsletter is, again, you know, there's a half a page for free volleyball, half a page for basketball, and then all our other programs are just squished up in a corner. Paper's cheap. We've talked about this before. So it's frustrating asking for the same thing month after month after month after month.
And who's responsible for the page?
And so, like I said, unfortunately, the mayor's not here.
Rocky,
leaving
aside the question of whether such a person would be an intern working as a volunteer, or the ideal person would be someone who is paid in some way, not necessarily as an employee, but, you know, as a independent contractor. Is there a sense that this is a need that would be better served by someone who does this specifically for the programming of the recreation department, or is this is this a need that you perceive that other departments within the town also have and could be met with someone in a more broad encompassing way.
I've done a little digging. You know, the town actually has a policy, social media policy. It's basically at the department level. Mm-hmm. They're responsible for the content. Again, from what I read out of it.
Well, I mean, it seems to me if the recreation department, not this commission, we don't have the power to hire people necessarily to do a number of things. But if the recreation department, via Pete, for example, can hire someone as an independent contractor to teach a basketball class or a dance program, why couldn't the department, again, leaving aside the question of how much money or how it would be budgeted, but why couldn't the department hire a social media person? Again, be it an intern or someone who is, you know, paid a little more, whatever it is. You know, why is that not a viable possibility?
It probably is. Probably is.
Is the department or the town, like, the responsible for the page?
It's a town page. You have to be a town. I thought it said you had to be a town employee to put anything on the page, but that, I don't know if that, if a consultant is a town, that's probably not a town employee, but they could do
so. It's not necessarily like Pete or somebody in the parks department.
Well, again, I don't think we can figure this out. I think we keep identifying the problem, and it's not getting better. I'm frustrated by it. Maybe nobody else is, but I just had to say it one more time. You know, the town website is horrible. I don't know if anybody has anybody loaded the town app. Mm-hmm. The town app's pretty good. Cindy does the programming on it. Every day there's something there. I think it's a matter of somebody wanting to do it, taking it seriously. That's my cut at the whole thing. You know better than me, Kate, because you do a lot of social media work. It does take time.
It does.
It does take time. But once you get things set up, then it's set up. So anyway. We don't have to dwell on that. Like I said, I really wish the mayor was here to hear some of that.
Rocky, I could just tell you. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, Rocky, or anyone, based on, you know, anyone's personal knowledge and experience of such things, in terms of the time it would take to maintain such a function, as you say, Kate, you just load it up and it, you know, does its thing, but you know, there's obviously some sort of maintenance, and someone's got to load it up, and someone's got to change the dates and put the right programs, you know, post the right, you know. Obviously, I'm not speaking technically about this, but the point is if there were someone doing this specifically for the recreation department and our programs and promoting the commission's work and so on. What could it conceivably cost on a monthly basis to have someone do this?
I don't know, because I do it all for free.
My point is even if
you're hired.
I have no idea how much something like this would cost.
If it costs, you know, $250 a month to have someone promote the programs, and that could be directly measured by increased exposure, increased enrollment benefit, and so forth, it seems to me that would be a great...
You know, it probably comes down to how far you want to take it. I mean, if you... And again, I'll just talk Facebook. If you already have something made up, like if you have this made up, it doesn't take much to post that picture on Facebook and hit send. Mm-hmm. Right? And this is this whole thing is a series of
20
pictures.
It would be great.
So every day if you put 20 pictures on there and hit send, that's probably what, a half hour a day maybe?
You know, it would be great if a volunteer were willing to do this, but on the other hand, how do you necessarily manage that person if they're not willing to be managed? I'm not speaking about you, Kate, obviously, or anyone in particular. You know, maybe it's best to identify a way of creating a not a position, but something to hire a contractor to do, and just it's either going to be satisfactorily done or it's not. You get rid of the person and try again, rather than getting into ongoing problems with either the performance of volunteers or the individual empires of people, or trying to do this on sort of a systemic whole town hall basis and running up against the sort of stumbling blocks that you've been talking about.
All right, thank you. Kate?
So two things. First of all, I do know somebody who could probably write up a report for us and give us an estimate of how much something like this would cost. Okay, I could reach out to her. The other thing is, just so everybody understands the reach of Facebook, between when I do the farmers market stuff during the high season, I'm getting like 8,000 hits on my stuff when it goes out. So, that's a pretty big reach.
Yep.
For our town.
So I totally agree. I think that's the other part of the problem, is that I don't think everyone from the town side understands that just because we have a Park and Rec page that has some buttons that you can push to go see about our programs, that's not how people do things. People kind of want it thrown in your face, right? People don't go hunting and pecking. We've made some improvements on our, because our webpage was not that easy to navigate. We've made some improvements on that, but like this newsletter, we post it on the website, but people aren't really going to read it. You email it, yep. Right? But I don't know how many people read that. People
the newsletter should be up
now.
On the Facebook page.
What's that now?
It should be up on the Facebook page.
I think so. And I think somehow we need to keep harping on this, even though I kind of gave up a year ago. Because I think there's a lot of, a lot of opportunity to get more people in our programs. And then the advertising we do isn't really fair to all our programs. That's the same thing we said 2 years ago. There's a lot about basketball right now. There's not a word about any one of our other programs.
There is that lady who does the dance. She's been posting about the dance on Facebook. The lady who does the dance,
she's doing that on her own. That's not a town website.
Yeah, but it's not on the Parks and Rec website.
She does it Montville Community. That's all on her own. I told her today.
I saw that recently.
Yep, I told her today she needs to keep doing that, because right now the town's not doing anything to support her in that area.
But while it's great that person's doing it, we don't have any control over the message. We don't have any ability to
keep her on that side.
I don't know if you remember, there was some discussion that they were talking about not letting her do it because it's a town program. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like nobody else is doing it.
I think there's some value in exploring local colleges, universities for social media management degree kids, even if it's a paid internship. Like, I think this is what this is their passion. This is what they want to do for a living. This is what they this is what they do. Their whole life is on social media. And if it's a passion and we're willing to pay them or not pay them and give them experience, it can only benefit us in the end. And I think it's worth looking into. This is what our world is now. Your whole lives are on social media. We all have kids. We know that. Like, everything's posted. Every passion that they have, every move that they make is on social media. And if we can use it to our advantage to only enhance our programs as a whole, I think it's worth looking at.
All right, thanks for bearing with me.
So where are we at?
Putting up with me.
Good way of saying that.
Unfinished business. Projects and funding status. Large Pavilion Dog Park plan. That has a couple items in it. Pickleball parking improvements, large pavilion, phase one parking improvements. We actually, there's some drawings in here. John, thank you for joining us. Were you here to talk about this at all, or no? You're just here to... How things are going, yeah.
Great.
We're a fun group.
We have some funding to support these projects. I know we've been looking for, you know, this kind of master plan. We have one right now, which is good. Yes, John?
We have the man with the stencils right here.
This is our public works director. John Plakis? No. John Carlson, sorry.
You guys just flipped roles.
he caught me off guard. Sorry, John. But yeah, so actually, one of the photos in here, plans in here is... what we've kind of asked for is an overall, hey, these are different things we can do as money becomes available. We were going to look at this last month, and we didn't have a meeting last month. The things that I saw or the splash pad. I think the splash pad I've currently priced out probably isn't big enough at $500,000 or $250,000. So you got a bigger size? Okay. Yeah, we definitely need. So all this ties into this SIF grant that Pete's been working on. You know, we do have some, you know, much better plans than we've ever had to move forward with some of this stuff.
How about like the old stuff, like the pickleball courts that needed to get patched? Is that getting done?
There's $175,000 that came from one of our senators that we had applied for a grant, and that should cover the parking lot at the dog park and the pickleball court.
I'm not talking about on the pickleball courts itself. Some of the stuff is there's little holes coming up there.
Yeah, we were working with the contractor. He's been difficult to get a hold of at times.
Because I know we want all this new stuff, but we need to keep up the other stuff that we did and keep it up, going up to date, being fixed. Instead of building new stuff and the old stuff not being fixed. That's what. And then I sent a picture. The lights aren't working at the pickleball courts at nighttime.
That's currently being worked on. Okay. I'm working with the electrician to try to figure out what's going on. We believe that the lights are so old, you can't replace those parts. So it's probably going to be one of those that's going to be upgraded to LED, even though they won't quite match what's already there. You know, unless I take them from the other heads, which is kind of not cost effective. To do the extra work of taking them from the lights we turned off and putting them on the lights that are working.
And they could fall apart if you try to move them.
I mean, now it's fine because it's wintertime. They're not playing at night, but people are sending me the
pictures
that the lights aren't working.
This weekend, the Boy Scouts spent at the Large Pavilion, and those lights were on Saturday night. They were on Friday night. Those lights are on a lot. I drive by a lot. When I drive by, a lot of times I see them still on. I don't think people realize you can turn them off when you're done, but I usually stop and turn them off. But the large part of it, we applied for a grant. We got $200,000 for the large pavilion improvements. It was pavilion improvements. It wasn't large. I should take that out of there. So part of the improvements we were looking at, and I think you'll see in your packet, is some of the drainage where there's a puddle by the entrance when you come in from all the water and stuff. And then the other improvements was another $175,000, and that was for the pickleball dog park parking lot, and that would do also include drainage, plus we looked at the four lights in the parking lot, upgrading those to LED. We applied for it. We should get to hear about that grant pretty soon. You know, there's a lot of improvements that I know I talk to Pete all the time about. We have the new building going on, and I know he's applying. He spent a lot of time with myself and the engineer and recently trying to get solid numbers on some of the stuff that needs to be done up there to just improve the parks. You know, look at the large pavilion, what has been done. I mean, I get a lot of compliments from the people, you know, just in the money we spent on that, you know. The bathrooms, you know, we upgraded the bathrooms. You know, crossing my fingers this year, I had a problem with one of the ladies' rooms. We couldn't fix it. I did get a plumber in there to fix it. I had a leak. My guys couldn't figure it out. So, but because it's so old, it's old equipment we're dealing with. But yes, a lot of this, you know, you look at and you're like, well, you know, it is expensive, but hopefully we can get the grant. But hopefully these parking lots can be upgraded. Because last year I had to put probably about $7,000 into the parking lot to repair it because it fell apart. You know, just that parking lot, it just got so soft and moist from all the years. You know, these things haven't seen pavement in probably 30 to 40, actually more than that. I've been here 35 years for the town, working for the town. They haven't been paved in 35 years, that parking lot. So there's been really zero improvements in that parking lot. So, and we're also looking at fixing the sidewalks too, because the sidewalks are uneven. They're kind of a trip hazard, you know. And the splash pad, yeah, you know, it's a little small, but, you know, we, like Pete and I talked, you know, making something a little bigger and stuff. There's a lot that goes into these plans. You know, it's all concept. So I try to keep up on everything, but I'm sorry, there's just a lot that goes on sometimes that happens that gets missed, you know. My main goal when I'm up there, and I've killed, every year I've killed my maintenance budget making repairs to the to everything up there. I had a leak in the soccer bathroom. It took me 4 tries before we finally found the leak. A small little crack in the concrete in the back wall was causing water to leak into the building and get on the floor. But we painted the whole roof. That didn't work. We painted it twice, thinking we didn't do it right the first time, so we did it again, you know. So, but yeah, I don't know if I answered your questions on it, but I know there's a lot of questions we're discussing in Public Works about doing Field 7 improvements. You know, Field 7 has a wet issue. Part of it is some of the years, it's not really, I can say a lack of maintenance, but there's a drainage swale behind Field 7. And over the years, it slowly kept filling in and filling in. I was tempted to try and go in there with some machinery and clean it to see if it would help improve the water problems that we have on Field 7. This year we did Field 4. I know it was a little bit of an eye-opener. We fixed some of the low spots on Field 4. Soccer did ask us to look at a couple other spots. I haven't gotten to those yet because they haven't shown them to us. But the grass is growing. The field is pretty level. We took one full triaxle, about 18 yards of material to fix that field. We had a light issue this year. I don't know if people saw that in the parking lot. I don't know if you know about that. I lost 4 sets of lights on the last run of the string of parking lot lights. So that took us a little over a month to fix. We chased the break in the line till I said, all right, we've spent enough time and energy trying to find the break to just replacing the wire itself from one pole to the next pole. Everything's been, basically the last 4 lights on the line have all brand new conduit to each other. So now I should never have a problem. If I do, I can pull the wire out and I can put new wire in. Part of the problem was we had mice chew on the wires and they were shorting. We were losing all the parking lot last year. These are the little things that we've been chasing. You know, the place is old. I mean, you know, what was it built, 78? You know, I don't know when I know they purchased it in 78. So, you know, a lot of the wire is direct bury. So we've had a lot of issues. Eversource even had issues with their where they came up and did a repair. I think when they did their repair, it affected part of our lighting system, too. That's why we lost the leg. So, what's that? Yeah. But, you know, we are trying to keep the maintenance up and fixing the fields and stuff and new equipment. This year I'm looking at one of the pieces of equipment is a new aerator for the fields to try to I'm probably going to purchase it. It is a used piece of equipment, but it allows the guys to aerate, and it levels the field at the same time. They feel the seed gets in there better. They've been trying it. We're constantly putting – I spend about $38,000 a year on these fields. The robot's been a beautiful help. I appreciate that support. The robot painting the fields, I don't know if everyone knows about it, has been tremendous. We've actually supported the Board of Education with that on their painting of their soccer fields and stuff. For what it would take them to paint the soccer fields, we go in there. We take an hour, we paint the field for them, the initial painting, and then they paint it the rest of the time. And it saves them three guys a half a day trying to lay a field out. You know, so we try to support the Board of Education with it, too, using that type of equipment. We are finding that there's two different paints for the paint machine. You can pre-mix your paint. I mean, you can mix your paint or buy pre-mixed. We're finding that the pre-mixed seems to be better quality, but it's a double the price type thing. So it's already mixed, it's ready to go. You just take the jug, you drop it on top of the machine, you put the hose in it, and it goes, and it paints, uses less paint and paints a brighter line than us mixing it ourselves. But at double the cost, if I'm paying $1,500, I'm looking at about $3,000. But I use less paint, so I can probably cut it a little bit less. You know, that's things I've looked at, too, up there at the fields. I don't know if soccer notices it, but my guys notice it. And they say the line seems to last longer. And one of the benefits with the robot, too, has helped us this year was football only played up there, like, once every 3 weeks. So before, we used to have to keep painting the field for the full 8 weeks. We'd paint it every week. Now we paint it when they need it. We paint it the first game, the third game, and the fifth, and the eighth game. So now I'm only painting the field 4 times instead of the whole 8 weeks. So that's been a huge benefit. You know, there's a lot. The new building's going to make a huge help with us having to be able to move the new equipment in the storage. That'll be a really big help. You know, that's been a blessing for us. I do know Rocky had mentioned possibly supporting a little bit of the electrical. I don't have funding for electrical right now for that. It's going to be probably around $15,000 from what I can see. I'm hoping to do a little bit of the work on our side by laying the conduit and stuff and trying to get my guys to do some of the work. I have to have life and safety inside the building, which means I have to have lights, I have to have emergency exits and signs, and I have to have emergency lights, basically, in a couple outlets. So it's not a maintenance shop. It's just storage for that part. So, and then I'll do a little bit of drainage behind the building. We're going to do some grading. My fear is the kids kicking the soccer ball up against the back of the building. That's my biggest fear right now. We're trying to find a solution for that. We haven't figured that out yet, besides putting netting up or hanging some type of netting off the back to try to stop them. I'm not sure yet on that. It's $2,600 to put the alarm system, and that's fire protection too. And then another $7,000 if I want to put camera system in. We're still not sure on the camera system. We are working on the camera system. The pickleball courts is partly delayed. There is a capital for that. The pickleball courts to have cameras. That is delayed because I haven't had the ability to get the conduit in the pole up to put the cameras up on. That's a project that I'm working with IT to get done. Hopefully, by the end of December, I will have that in place, and we can possibly get those cameras in.
You have cameras for that?
We have the money for it. Yeah, it's okay. It's just not there. So that's one thing you're going to see. Pete, I don't know if he told you, we discussed, because after having vandalism, Pete got the guy to donate these signs. I have 9 of these signs to put up to try to just deter some of the things that we've had happen this year. You know, if it works, hey, if it scares one person, it's one person less I have to worry about, you know, damaging something. So these will be strategically placed. If anyone has any ideas or thoughts and wants to pass them to Pete, I'm all ears. We talked to Pete about putting it right when you first drive in on, like, the first or second street light going in the parking lot, and then maybe up the line a little bit, and then maybe down the road going towards and some by pickleball. I just don't have an official spot pickleball yet. I don't know if I want to put it on the fence or, you know, in somewhere by the pavilions and stuff. I just don't want it to look corny.
Tacky.
If you want to take it that way. Yeah, tacky. You know, I don't want to stick it on the side of the large pavilion. And, you know, it's the first thing you see when you drive in. You know, it's like the old phone booth signs kind of. You know, you noticed them. But
yeah, you want them to be noticed, but you don't want them to be noticed.
Correct. Right, right. Yeah, just in a little deterrent. But I'll find some strategic spots to put these, you know. You know, we had a little bit of vandalism at the small pavilion. I'll probably have to replace the door on the men's bathroom. The kids decided to throw rocks at it and have damaged the door quite a bit. We painted it, and then, like, a week later, we came back, and they threw more rocks at the door, and it's damaged where it makes it difficult to open the door. So I'm looking at about $3,000 to fix that door.
Just out of curiosity, why is the fear soccer balls getting kicked at the – or footballs or whatever getting
back
kicked?
Back of the building.
Oh, okay, okay.
Back of the building at the – I was storage building. I'm sorry.
No, no worries. Just at a – I don't know, an idea, right, because it is a flat surface, which means you're probably going to have something being kicked at it, right?
Yeah.
What about installing – a kickboard on the back of it, so it's padded, then it's not hitting the building.
So
we already know
they
that
have
kids
two
are going to use it.
We have two kickboards. My only fear is they miss. If I install
oh, agreed.
Behind, yeah. Behind the building, now it becomes a backstop if you miss. But we can install. I shouldn't single any group out. I'm
no,
sorry.
I
it's just, you know, just a thought, you know?
Yeah. I just if we already know that they're going to use it because it's kids and it's a flat surface and they're going to
right.
use it.
Right. Then when no parents are around, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Have you thought like those low-lying evergreens that just crawl the ground, make it, you know, non-conducive?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Maybe you know, make it, you know, make
yeah,
it,
we
make it so
at,
you can't
you know, like
use
a 6-foot
that
fence so it would really kind of deter them from trying to kick into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at do I put a netting up to try to stop it, you know, like 10-foot poles.
And now you're making a target.
So then you would have to kick it up over. I don't it's tough. Camera
yeah.
systems I hope will deter it when we're done. There's plans to put a camera that'll do a 270-degree angle on the backside. So put one in the center. And it'll cover, you know, 270 degrees. We can shrink it down to that 180 so it covers both sides of the building.
What's that microphone thing that they had in Princess Diaries where she walks across the grass and it just starts yelling at her? We need to get one of those.
But, you know, I got to make sure, one, the roof doesn't flood the field. So we're probably going to put some under drains behind the building.
Okay.
To put the water underground. And then if it, at some point it becomes overwhelmed, it'll come out of the ground. But I don't want to soak a large area of that field,
yep.
you know, with the building roof runoff, you know.
Yep.
So.
And as we kind of talked about earlier when we talked about the storage shed, is that this all costs money.
Yep. Know? Oh, yeah, it does.
So it's you're probably going to be working for the next year or so working
right.
through all
and,
these
and
different
even
issues.
The guardrail, when you look at the wooden guardrail now, and I don't know if people notice that, It's seen its age. I can't.
Yes.
It's been there a very, very long time. I know it's pressure treated. It's supposed to last a lifetime, but it doesn't. And you know, those are one of the things that I'll probably see put in my capital. I don't know. I did have a quote for around $30,000 to replace it, but I thought maybe if I could do it with the people I have and use the materials, maybe do something like that. So
would you say it's on the wrong side of the road now?
Yes and no. I think it's okay that way because if I have to, you know, use it for an emergency exit, I can still open that up, that gate up and stuff, and then it still keeps people off the fields. I like the way it is now. I'm okay with people driving up and down the road or access to that road if needed. But if I had to open up that gate, say, of the parking lot to let people go down it, then that gives everybody access to the fields. My biggest fear is giving one person access to that fields or people realizing they can get on it.
I didn't think of it that way, that it protects it, the field.
It's a scary thought, yeah. You know. One of the things I'm currently working on is paving underneath the bleachers of football. Because the stone is okay, but too much stuff grows under it. Picking the litter up is difficult. Paving underneath them will make it easier. We're actually going to try to make it a little more handicap friendly. It'll raise it a little bit. But they also asked me to push them back a little bit up against the poles. But paving a driveway from the actual side of the wooden building there and bringing that up to the actual paving so that you could actually run a wheelchair across to get up there. I'm hoping it works out to be the way I want it. I'm not sure I'm going to maybe be able to make it exactly ADA compliant, but I think I can make it better than it is currently.
Yeah.
And eventually I would like to take that wooden building down, the small little one-bay garage next to football, because it's kind of in rough shape, and turn that into a little picnic area where more tables could be placed on a cement slab. And then someday, if you can get a volunteer group to put a little pavilion there, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, with the new building, that's my goal. But, you know, as with any goal, things change, so. Any other questions or anything, while I'm here?
No, the only question, so on these two drawings here, the first one is the large pavilion shows the drainage area. These obviously are shrunk. And then this one is showing kind of a master plan. But the parking lot here is, the dog park parking area. We have money for both those projects right now.
Correct. Well, we had to file for the they needed the paperwork
right.
for the money, and then it's got to be approved.
So would you say that's a springtime kind of project, or?
Yes, definitely. If the money comes through, yes, I would wait till spring, and then redo the pickleball parking lot and everything and do the actual work at the large pavilion, the drainage, that could be done anytime during the season.
Yeah, that's kind of not all that.
That's not a weather-related, but right. The paving part is, come Christmas, patch plants close. You don't want to run asphalt in the cold.
Right.
So
right.
You're better off in the spring.
So those are springtime projects. Those
right, closing right. Right.
John, one thing that we've talked about in a variety of ways over a number of years, and we've had all these discussions of plans and the different areas and seen different concepts. A lot of this all comes back probably 4 or 5 years ago or more before right. you were in your present position when Don Bordeaux was still around. The few remaining large trees at the large pavilion area were cut down, and I remember at the time being struck by the idea that, well, we should be replanting these so that in the future people can enjoy these in the same way that the ones that had passed their prime, so to speak, had been enjoyed. But where do you do this? And then where do we do this so that it's not in the way of future improvements? And then the discussion of all these different plans came about. And then there's the further idea of, well, even though you don't think a tree costs that much, but you don't want to plant a twig. You want to plant something that's of some size and will be appreciated sooner. From your perspective, what's the best and most practical way to pursue the idea of doing a little bit more in the way of landscape plantings, whether it be trees or some particular improvements around buildings, not to create a large maintenance issue, right, cutting right. shrubs or anything, but
right.
But just to see some larger trees again in places where they used to be.
So last night, I'm part of Troop 93. We met with a group, and I'm sorry, I'm going to draw a blank on the group, but they have to do with the canine Barrett. She met with us last night, and she was discussing planting trees in memory of the canines that lose their life after their service. And she was asking me questions about where we could plant. And I know that the big oak tree behind Fair Oaks School was a big loss for a lot of people. I took a lot of phone calls on that. I did not want to cut that down. But because of the tree splitting in two, I had to consider there was supposed to be a large event there. Even though it got canceled, I had to take it down for liability purposes. It was beautiful. But one of the discussions she was talking about was like a nice red oak. And she is interested in the spring on doing that. She was going to come back to the Boy Scouts in January and talk to us about where we can plant them. That's where I come in to discuss with people about planting, because we talked about Fair Oaks. I wouldn't put it in the same location, I don't think, because I think it would I think it would interfere with your carnival, but I think somewhere closer to the road out by the playground would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice to sit at the playground and sit underneath a nice big tree?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the point. These large trees, for whatever reason, right, have reached the end of their yeah, life. And if we like, maybe not in our lifetimes, but in the future, for people to enjoy things of such size, they need to be replanted. Yeah. And certainly working with a group that would like to do some of that's a great idea. I'm thinking that, you know, maybe there's some sort of a grant available for this sort of thing in a larger scale way.
Correct.
You know,
there are grants,
you know,
out there.
It's 100 trees or something.
Right. Yeah, 100. Because we're more apt to cut a tree down than we are to plant them.
Right.
And the reality is that's what it is. Because those were ash trees that got cut down. They just became, once the disease got to them, they're done.
Yeah.
No matter how old they are, no matter how big, you know, your oak trees survive a lot of different things. But yes, no, we should be looking at more landscaping. You know, I've tried to look into, I want to do something at the police department, just to get off topic, but I wanted to do some landscaping there. I don't have that ability. I have to hire somebody that says, a landscape architect is what I was looking at. Her and I tried to communicate with her, but she wanted plans of the building. I'm like, well, I really can't give you plans of the building. You know, you're not supposed to put that stuff out on public. But, you know, I was trying to go through it. She kind of got lost by the wayside. But, you know, those are types of things that we really should address, is find somebody that has that vision or the ability to show you what it could look like. You know, like the area where we cleaned up and we took the hill down. Yes, that would be a beautiful spot to put a nice oak tree behind the fence or somewhere in that vicinity, or even a couple of them.
Well, this is the, you know, my purpose in asking is not to complain or
I understand.
Suggest there's anything wrong with what you're doing, but if we wanted to get from where we are to the point where we're able to do some of that in more than a way of just saying, okay, let's plant one tree in memory of a canine over here and call it a day,
We were talking multiple trees, but over various areas. But it's a concept she just started. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, John. Though we really do need to dress up things to present them and make them look nice, but not make a huge maintenance.
That's exactly the point.
You know, hedges become maintenance.
Right.
Where trees usually don't.
Mm-hmm. You know, trees of the appropriate species in the appropriate place. You hear this a lot about roadside trees under the power lines, but the same point can be made. You don't want to plant things that where roots get into the drainage systems or create more work for the guys to mow around than would be the case if you had planted it 30 feet in the other direction or something like that. But again, just the idea of, again, not saying that why don't you do this, John,
or things
would be better if you did this, but just how do we get to that point? And I'm not asking you to answer it tonight.
What
could we do to help
As
a commission? Is it a matter of supporting grant applications, you know, looking for more budget money to be targeted in that area.
All right, let's move on.
Okay. Yep. I'll let you go. I know you don't want to be here.
Thank you, John. No, I think wait now for that stuff. So the seal, well, you can stick around, John, if you want. The Camp Oakdale seal coating, I brought up that there's already some grass growing through in some areas, and we talked about increasing the aero size. Yeah, we talked about that already. Maintenance building, the building's up, roof's up, sides are up. I believe the floor has to be poured.
They're working on it.
Yep. And then after that, we talked a little bit about we still got to come up with money to put electricity in the building and all that other stuff. I didn't even think about you needing to have emergency exits and emergency lights and all that. So, you know.
That's part of the electrical.
Yep. Community center accessible bathrooms. John said at the Public Works meeting that hasn't gone out to bid yet. That'll be, you're going to be putting that out soon. That's about it for that portion of the agenda.
Now, how about, did we have the pavilion rules done yet?
We're not, no, we haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, I thought
no, that was the projects and funding status.
I thought you were done with that.
Facility walk-arounds, I don't think anybody has anything to talk about. Pavilion rules. Pete, you were supposed to bring updated pavilion rules for us to look at tonight.
Yes, and I did not do that this week.
Okay.
I've been
rather than dwell
consumed.
On it, we will. Pete is spending a lot of time on the SIF grant. Is there something new, those rules might be able to get to us for next meeting, or was the grant submitted by then, or?
The grant will be submitted by then. Hopefully there was a.
So we'll try, we'll put keep that out for next
17th
meeting.
17th of December or something like that, on our next one.
Okay. New business. Dance program sign-up protocol. I came to me.
The email.
But it was addressed to Commissioner Stone and commission members. My name is Lana Davidson, and I'm the dance instructor from Montville Parks and Recreation Dance Program. I was told in the past from Peter Bushway, Director of Parks and Recreation, that the commission made the rule on how registration is taken for programs. I am asking that you consider this plan on how registration will be taken for the dance program. When I started teaching for town, registration was taken at the same time for everyone. She meant residents and non-residents. It was changed around 10 years ago to the current policy, which is town is first and then residents are 3 days afterwards. I'm asking for reconsideration of this plan. No. The plan will help me to keep children in their existing classes without other children being able to bump them out of their classes. The first session in September can stay as it is. And what she's asking for is the other sessions that we consider allowing the people that are registered in a session to be able to register first without any consideration of where they're from. So that's basically what she's asking for. I told her I would present this to the commission. I told her my personal feeling is that, you know, these are town programs and that we should always, my opinion would be that we should always allow the town residents to register first.
I agree with that.
And then, and have a waiting period for the non-residents. I told her I would present this to the commission. I wanted to hear the commission's thoughts on this.
I think residents should get their priority.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you're an out-of-town person, you are just generating revenue for the town. So if you're already in a TAP class for September, and the next one starts, I don't know what the cadence is. Let's say the next one starts in December, right? If you're already participating in the class, and it's just going to continue to the next one, but now you're potentially not able to join, I don't see Lana turning away somebody that wants to join a class.
Well, there are limits. You know, there's minimums, right. There's maximums. I think some cancels classes got canceled this year so far. Yeah.
People lost out.
And you know, we do kind of, if you think, I think there's four sessions, Pete, help me out here. Four sessions. One, two, three, yeah, four. So
once a quarter or something along those lines.
We actually already do waive that requirement between the third and the fourth session. Because that's the last session is where they do the recital, and you kind of need the third session to. You can't join in the fourth session and go to the recital. It doesn't work.
Right, but so what I'm saying is it works a little bit different for the town, don't get me wrong, but when I was in dance, you started learning your routines
early on
in
yeah.
August. Yep. And I'm not saying that somebody can't learn the routines in September or whatever when they join later. Don't get me wrong, but if we have, you know, somebody from out of town and they're learning the routine and now they go to sign up for the third session and all of a sudden there's not a spot for them. They've now spent potentially 6 months learning a routine and now they can't participate in the recital because they're now not in the class.
Yeah, and
well, you'll have to bump somebody who's a resident who will, the same scenario will be involved.
Well, no, because if they're already in the class,
you can move them up.
They're saying if they're already in the, no. If I understand correctly, if they're already in the class, so you have a non-resident that's in the class from
right.
session one,
but
so
you,
session
but
one,
and now session two, they're still in the class, and now they go to join session three, and now all of a sudden they're bumped.
Why would they be bumped?
Because somebody from
not,
in
town,
town
took
their spot.
So this is non-town. So,
yeah, I know. That's just supposed they'd be bumped because of somebody who lives in town.
Right.
Wanted the class.
Yeah. Has
then you're going to cut down on
has anybody been
joining.
Has anybody been bumped? Has this come to fruition?
I can't answer that. I don't.
The same thing will apply for a resident.
If this is a non-issue, if we're just thinking about like hypotheticals.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's something else to consider, and Pete, help me out here. I believe if we make this switch, it ends up becoming more of a manual registration process also.
Oh, okay.
And
right.
We put a burden on the recreation department.
You look
can
so
they just
late
be given like a code
and,
or
and I don't think
you look late
again,
if you
I,
want to
do I don't think we can do that.
The current process is the wait 3 days for non-residents, right?
Yeah.
And if there hasn't been any issue so far, then maybe we can just leave it until there's an issue and we can consider on a case by case basis.
Miss Lana, I think, has increased the size of classes sometimes to accommodate students.
Yes, and started new classes.
Okay.
Started, and again, you don't want to, which is potentially a burden to her, but again, let's not get into that. Again, I said I would present this. I think there's, I think we should stay with the town first. And the burden to the administration part of the recreation department, I think it could be a lot. It increases already between the third and the fourth session.
And also just absent any episodes where this has been an issue. I mean, we seem to be
yeah.
in a system that works fine enough. And if it doesn't work for any given session, we can just figure out whether that class can expand by one or two, given
take it a cave,
yeah,
something at a time.
Because what we have seems to be working fine enough.
So I don't know whether we just don't consider this or whether we make a motion to leave everything as it is.
Ding ding ding!
I move to do not.
Say, if it hasn't been an issue, then it hasn't been an issue.
If she's adding people in, if they can't get, I mean, or adding new classes. It's not an issue, but I think residents should have the first choice.
And that's the policy as it stands now.
Yeah. I mean, this is a town program, and I mean, I think we still have to show the residents.
There should be some benefits for living in this town.
Correct.
And non-residents have to pay more,
right? At the same time, we have a responsibility to the taxpayers of the town. I realize that out-of-town participants may generate revenue and so forth, but ultimately the facilities are owned by the taxpayers, the cost of improving them and so forth. I just think
the extra $10 we charge isn't really covering much.
Right. Now, if Ms. Lana and her generosity is able to do her best to accommodate people so they can attend recitals and so on, I think that's fantastic, but I don't think it alters our overall responsibility.
No, and I would acknowledge that, you know, Lana does go out of her way to accommodate all her all these dancers, and I don't think we should change the rules. That's my position.
More just curiosity for myself. Is there a reason that it's four sessions instead of just you sign up for the year? Because that would eliminate
the kids. Kids come and go. They don't participate in September because they're playing soccer.
Oh, okay. All right.
Then it may be something else in the winter. So they may take one off, and it's, you know.
More just curious.
Maybe five sessions.
Most of the programs are four. Some are three. Some are beginning and end. But
I said more just curious.
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to just say we take no action. How's that sound?
Motion to do nothing.
Excellent idea.
The other thing we have to present, we got an estimate on Large Pavilion cornhole. These are basically permanent cornhole fixtures. We had asked Pete to go get these. I don't want to say they're theft-proof, but what do they weigh?
It's a very strong person.
They cost almost as much to get here as they do to buy them. The weight is in here. I think they're 800 or 900 pounds. They're pretty heavy. I don't think it could. But anyway, there's an estimate in here. It's shown on one of our plans. It's about $4,000. It's something for us. We have an estimate now, and I think we were thinking of putting these where the blacktop, by the Large Pavilion, there's blacktop. I think they're planning, as part of the drainage work, there's taking that blacktop up, I believe. I'm looking at Mr. Carlson over there. So, you know, maybe planting grass and putting these over there.
Well, I think, you know, we've talked about this. I mean, it would be a great improvement to the facility based on the kind of groups that use the pavilion and so on, different events, picnic, family gathering, and
they will get
so
used.
On. Unfortunately, if you're going to do it, you got to do it in a bulletproof way, and this is, you know, what this provides. So.
And it's certainly in the wheelhouse of, you know, money on that from the 0979 fund that we could potentially, you know, procure these out of there.
And I do also understand the overall goal for a variety of reasons of eliminating some of these extraneous impervious surface areas, you know, unnecessary blacktop areas. So that advances that. And, you know, what do we need to do at this point?
Well, I don't know if we want to take it up now and say go buy them, or if we want to table it until after the blacktop's removed. I mean, I don't know if you have a lead time. Go ahead, Pete.
What's the lead time?
Well, it's already included in the SIF grant.
If
this doesn't happen, then we could go Plan B, which would be special revenue.
Have a bake sale.
Increase the price of the rental, and then we can buy it in 2 weeks.
After we have our pavilion rules done.
So we have that estimate.
We should
I think it's a good thing. I think we all kind of want it. So we'll see. The next subject is SIF grant priorities. So there's a list in here.
We do have
here. Yep. So this is Pete and I had come up with a list, and I wanted the commission to review this list and endorse it, basically, that this, you would agree this is the list of, I guess, do they call it a priority list?
Yes.
And this, yeah. We are putting in grant requests for everything on this list, and you just have to sequence them and what's your highest priority to your lowest. So I think we came up with this based on the list that I've been maintaining, that we've been, you know, that usually is in your meeting minutes, your agenda, sorry, of what we've talked about over the years as to, it's in our budgets in this order. So I don't think there should be any surprises here.
But isn't that disc golf, don't we have that disc
no.
golf course? Oh, not the one that's behind the pickleball? That's
no, that's
different.
That's just a temporary.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's not a course. That's a practice facility.
Okay, so you want the course. So that person
yeah,
was
that's like
about
miniature golf
yeah.
versus the real golf
okay,
course.
Okay, all
right. Yeah, we've been showing a disc golf course up at the Masterway property.
Okay, that guy came and talked to us about.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Something. Okay.
So I'd just like, you know, if there's any discussion, and if not, I'd like to just have a vote on approving this priority list. Go ahead, John.
The one that is the paving of the Campo, the small pavilion, that. But we're not going to do the large pavilion. That's not in there.
The
large pavilion was the plans you already have seen earlier.
Yeah, that's already. No, let's
no.
No, let's back up.
I know the small pavilion parking lot is in horrible shape.
Yes.
Yes. But we haven't come up really with an idea, you know, what we want to do with the large pavilion. So I was just, we're not going to turn it into a park.
I don't see the Camp Oakdale Pavilion pavement on here.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we're missing. There's two phases to the Camp Oakdale paving. Phase one is the drainage improvements. That's what we have money for. That's missing from this.
Okay.
The object was to keep the impervious surface at the large pavilion, which is why the drainage, or I guess it's a drainage ditch or a detention pond.
That's not what we had discussed.
That's not what this commission wants. They came up with. So
we were told, you told us this, that it would be a two-step process. Phase one would be the drainage, and then it could be paved afterwards because we wanted to ensure that there was handicap accessible.
Did we ever find out why that field was collapsing, the drainage part of it?
Which the parking lot?
No, in the field.
Oh. Field four?
Yeah.
Oh. I assume it was some of it was rotting trees and some of it was the drainage has collapsed as well. Can't get a camera in there though.
No, because that will, yeah, it's going to keep coming and happening.
Right. Right.
And, you know, what's shown on this drawing is exactly what we want. We want that paved. So if that's not in the SIF grant, we're missing something.
What are we looking at here? Wait a minute. Which drawing, Rocky?
The drawing you sent me.
Yeah. So I'm looking. Noah was helpful to show me his pictures because I guess I didn't print out this portion for tonight, but I'm looking at maybe this is what John's concerns are getting at. I see one picture that
I can't read it here.
You know, it seems to show contours and so on, and I'm looking at another picture that shows. Again, I think this gets to
John. I can walk through them with you.
Here it is.
So
So I'm looking at a picture that shows, I'm looking at the second picture that shows, again, the park being paved over, which is the concern that we had addressed at length a number of months ago.
It'd be like turning that area into a parking lot, basically, not a park. No. It would put the parking in the lot. This is why I asked that question. It shows the pavilion being basically paved.
Yes. And this is what we didn't want paved over on this side of the road.
No, both sides paved.
Well, okay.
No, I don't think we endorse the idea of paving anything to this extent, Rocky.
I don't think so.
Well, there was...
Probably. I mean, first we expressed reservation about this. Some of us did. And then, out of the blue, we saw a plan from the town engineer that proposed even more asphalt on the other side of the road also.
Is the pavilion going to be a green area or a paved parking lot? Is it going to be a park or, you know, for people or cars? We've never...
You need parking there. Parking is a disaster.
I agree with that. Okay. And we've talked
about...
So
what are you going to do to fix the parking?
We've talked about if we could move the road over to fix that intersection.
That's not going to happen.
But I can't say I know of a plan that we have going forward other than we're going to turn it into a parking lot with a pavilion building.
Well, that's why this plan is sitting in front of you for discussion. This is exactly what we redlined about 6 months ago and sent to CLA to commit to paper.
I don't know how we're... I still don't know how we're...
John, you've missed a lot of meetings, so...
No, I don't think so, Rocky. I think we started with... I have, but I you know, distinctly recall that we were not universally in favor of anything like this. And when such reservations were expressed, what was then produced was even more paving. I'm with John on this. What's left of the park if it's turned into asphalt?
I think the answer is somewhere between you both, to be completely honest.
It needs
because
parking.
We need parking. Yes. I don't think we saw this much parking.
February of this year, we presented this to the commission, and they all agreed that this is what we were going to send to CLA to come up with plans for.
I think we saw
but I don't,
but we
I don't
didn't
think
like
we...
the amount of pavement.
That's what's on here. This is what we asked for.
Just tell you, if you want to do a simple thing of having a Frisbee toss, is that going to happen now?
No,
what's that now?
The Frisbee thing is the disc.
Well, no, I'm not talking about... You and I just want to have a green grass Frisbee toss.
Oh, okay.
Or a baseball toss.
So, and that's where I think some of it was maybe lost in communication because I think we wanted parking where you're showing number two there, right?
The parking now is...
But I don't think we thought it was going to take up the entire thing, is what I'm saying. Right?
True.
We need parking. We need handicap accessible. We wanted it somewhere in
that
number two area.
Yeah. And if I go to, Colchester, there's very few places that have a green like that.
Yeah.
But it's not a parking lot.
Right.
But yet it has parking.
Right, and that's where I think the answer is somewhere between us, where we agreed parking was going to be in that number two area.
Do we have to endorse this tonight, or do we have a little bit of wiggle room to check to see what we said?
I remember a very, enthusiastic presentation
before our next meeting
by the mayor, as a matter of fact, about, this being the town green. but where's the green if it's paved over?
Well, you're looking at one small part of many acres that we have of parkland. You go to any parks, they have parking. You got to park somewhere. And you don't want people just continually parking haphazardly.
But the mayor has said, this is literally the center of mass for Montville. It is the center of the town. It's an equal distance from all four corners. And we're going to have a building with a very big parking lot.
think we approved this. That's what you're saying. We already approved
it. I don't remember approving this much asphalt.
And I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing.
I would agree we did not approve it. But, you know, to sit here today and say that nobody was expecting to see this is disappointing, because we had meeting after meeting where we put on paper and committed to paper what we wanted to see somewhat formal drawings back on. Now, you know, if there's members of the commission that don't like this, again, then we can go back to the drawing board. But we can't keep moving forward and going back and moving forward and going back, because
every proposal is
nothing gets done.
Yeah, but every proposal keeps coming back as a large
this is what we
sum
asked
of
for.
Asphalt.
But, John, this is what we asked for.
I don't...
He asked for this. We did approve passing that on to CLA.
Yeah, but the proposal they originally gave us was like three versions of a lot of asphalt.
And we spent a lot of time backing all that down to, we just wanted paving on the pavilion side, not the opposite side of the road.
So across the street you can go play frisbee and catch your ball. The opposite side where people park to go to the farmer's market is on grass. So that's
it's grass.
Yeah, that'll stay grass.
That's staying grass.
So that's where you can go catch a ball and a frisbee.
Well, right now that area is unusable, really. It's a mud, the stuff across the street?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any real grass there.
There's grass there. I park there.
I shouldn't say there's no grass, but on the other side of the road, of the pavilion.
Yeah, you're right. We wanted that paved so like people that are handicapped can get to like the farmer's market and all that stuff.
Yeah, what are we talking about? Five or six spaces?
No, it should be a bigger space, not just five or six.
No. How many handicapped people?
Oh, just handicapped.
Yeah. I mean, how many there are standards, right? For John, how many handicapped spaces you need for a given size parking area, right? So
it's on,
you know,
occupancy.
So half a dozen spaces, I think, is adequate for the people. And how many people, you know, in wheelchairs go to the farmer's market?
I don't know that answer.
Not even wheelchairs. People.
Yeah, I understand. Mobility issues. And so I don't mean to be facetious about it. I withdraw
that. This is trying, you know, again, we've had these discussions, John. This is trying to, right now there's no organization at all to the parking over there. How do you propose we do that?
I have never seen or heard anything about people.
We should meet on site.
You should what?
We should meet on site at the pavilion. And actually stand there and look at the darn place.
Yeah, I don't find any use to that, but I'm used to looking at
the line. It's not the grade, the grade on the property isn't one grade. You don't even have two levels of grade at that place.
And I believe that's supposed to be addressed when they do the drainage work in phase one. That's why there was a phase one and a phase two.
I don't know. It would be equally useful, I think. I agree with John, but I think it would be equally useful to go out there and do a little survey. The place is a popular place on weekends with people using the pavilion for, again, picnics, events, and things like that. I'd be very curious to know if the consensus of the public is that we'd enjoy it more if it were blacktopped over.
Do you think they play baseball out in the parking lot? There's nobody in that area. Is where people park. It's a parking area.
It'll be better.
Will park.
It's a disorganized
anywhere.
Parking area.
They
right
park
now.
All so the what? Way up to the grills. They'll park so on both what, sides Rocky? Of the pavilion.
So what if it's disorganized? Aren't there other things to spend money on? I mean, it's.
We don't have to agree on everything.
No,
John,
we don't.
But again,
we don't. But.
John, just so I understand, what were you saying to grades?
You could say the outhouse and the pavilion are on one grade, and then you have your volleyball area, which is a different grade or a height.
Oh, okay.
In between, it could resemble the moon.
Okay.
Haven't been there, but it's...
Seen pictures.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
It's, there's as a you know, just viewing it, it's not a good view. I mean, we could grade that place, you know, but
I don't know. I don't think a decision has to be made tonight because nothing's, you know, there's no shovels going in the dirt. I'm tired of talking about it, quite frankly. Like I said, I think we're close to going over the finish line, and then we end up back at the beginning again.
But I don't
that's just
think,
one commissioner's opinion.
But I don't
I'm
think
tired
we're
of
at
the thing.
We're back at the finish line because we all agree that there is parking necessary. Again, I just don't think we foresaw that entire section turning into parking. Half of it. You know what I mean? Like, if you literally were to take it and just do the half closest to the bathroom, right? Because that still leaves grass on the other side, so on and so forth. I think
it needs an organized parking area.
Right.
You can't dispute that.
And again, CLA asked us to give them a number of parking spaces back in February, and that's what we did. Okay, this commission gave them a number of parking spaces. That's what's on the drawing. So,
well, nothing's happening, so we can just move on.
And we already got, not, you know,
I don't remember approving this.
The mayor was not happy that we weren't cleared the first time when CLA made a proposal with parking lots on both sides.
I think we were quite clear.
We
didn't ask for it,
then.
And we were surprised when we got it.
We were crystal clear this time, and now we're saying it's not what we want. So,
I can shed some light on this if you'd like to.
Absolutely. You can, Mr. Mayor. You can have the floor. I'm really tired of the whole thing.
We asked the state for funding to make some renovations to the entire Camp Oakdale area. We ended up getting $200,000 for the large pavilion area is what it was intended to be for, and then $175,000 was for the tennis court parking lot. Looking at the $200,000, we asked the town engineer, "What can we get done?" Because we knew what we wanted to do in the large pavilion area, and yes, it was the commission that wanted to pave that area closest to the pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
And when the town engineer looked at the amount of money we had, he says, you're only going to be able to do the drainage with that. When we really wanted to do the drainage and lighting and paving and something else in that larger area, but there wasn't enough. So we figured when we were sizing up what we did have, well, let's get the drainage done because that's the most important, and that's the only amount of money we had. The paving was supposed to come later. The CIF grant that we are applying for is already at $3.8 million. You're going to throw another, bring it up to over $4 million? We're probably not going to get that. We're probably not going to get 3.8. That's why we established that priority list. So that's where we stand right now. The paving of that area will be done pending funding, but let's get the drainage done first because it turns into a mud hole, and we can still use it for parking once it drains properly and there's not a mud hole, and then we can pave it.
Yeah, and again, what's disappointing to me is that paving of Camp Oakdale Park has been in our SIP plan every year.
Yeah.
It's been there. Whether
well,
you notice it or
to
not,
it goes back even further. I mean, I can remember back during memories vary, I'm sure, but I seem to recall that during the pandemic, when there was a lot of federal money being thrown around and so forth, all of a sudden there was this concept that arose from maybe a couple of people about paving over a large portion of that area. There wasn't a lot of widespread happiness with it at the time. It didn't happen, the funding didn't happen, and that, you know, continues to be pushed forward into this idea that, you know, we've decided to do it. I just, you know, that's not the the development of the idea that I recall. I just, you know, I seem to recall.
And John, I don't mean to cut you off, but it's been in our SIP plan every single year. So to say that it hasn't been approved by this commission is
the idea of making some improvements there, especially to drainage, as the mayor explained, which is one of the more fundamental things.
That's something that's new, John. That came up because we didn't have enough money to do it.
You would have had to have done this, Rocky.
That's what's new.
Rocky, no,
even the pavilion is not new.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that drainage was with the original proposal last year. That drainage had to be done
as part of the paving. And we don't have enough money to do the whole thing. And
right now.
So phase one, in fact, if you look at all the paperwork, it says phase one. There's a reason for that, because there's a phase two.
And what's phase two?
Paving it.
Okay.
Well,
then what are we being asked here, Rocky, to prioritize or improve or approve?
The what's on the SIF request right now? John pointed out that, I think, right? Who pointed out? Oh, no.
Audit.
Who? Did you point out?
No, I did not.
Because
you pointed out that there was no, that the paving for the pavilion wasn't on there.
I looked at that picture and I was like, I don't remember voting for that.
So see, if John didn't notice that, we would not have had this last half hour discussion.
Well, I think what I heard John say was I looked at that picture and I don't remember voting for that. That's what I took away from what he just said.
Well, John was here in February when we asked for that, so.
I gotta say, I don't remember asking for that.
Want me to pull the picture out from February again?
Well,
I'm just telling you, it was there, all right? I'm sorry. So, do we want to approve the SIF priority list and have the pavilion, the paving discussion another day?
Absolutely. And we have a discussion. Let's get to an answer.
Well, we keep going backwards, John. We can't get an answer. I'm so frustrated with all this. We get right to the end, and then everybody wants to start at the beginning again.
Well, the painting of the large pavilion isn't on the.
It's not on that. It's just a
small. Yeah. Well, a small pavilion's fine.
It doesn't impact the list that you're voting on. That's what I'm saying,
Point of order.
Like he's trying to say.
Can we do the motion?
Changing the direction of the conversation about parking, I do have a question about the small pavilion paving that's on the list, and I'm perhaps direct that to John. Carlson, do you see a need to repave that entire area at the small pavilion, given the amount of use it gets, or would it be possible to save money, create less impervious surface, create more green area, what have you, by creating a smaller parking lot than the one that's there now and is mostly unusable?
One of the things that I think limits the small pavilion is the lack of lighting and electricity there at night. Because now you can't utilize it in the evening. Like the large pavilion, you have the lighting and stuff. Where the small pavilion, it's basically pitch black. I envision maybe doing some type of lighting underneath it with maybe one parking lot, a light on each side before it's paved. You could shrink the size of the parking lot down and pave it to make it a little nicer. You could also look at, and I know Rocky likes the cornhole stuff, make it a little more attractive with different grills or something. Maybe a gas grill. Charcoal's a little tough sometimes.
Perhaps utilize some of the area that's presently paved
correct.
For some of these.
Right, shorten things. The parking lot up. Yes, yeah. But
which would in the future create less maintenance.
Less maintenance, right. Part of the problem we're running into is MS4 through DEEP, they re, they're starting to require us to eliminate 2% of asphalt on stuff on our town wide. And part of that reasoning is because the initial runoff from a parking lot carries so many chemicals in it. And then when it hits directly into the stream, it's not good for the environment, it's not good for the fish. One of the reasons you want to try and keep, especially at a large pavilion, I like it dirt. Do I think we need to make handicap spots with a handicap ramp that goes to the bathrooms? Yes. But one of the good things is, yes, we do get a puddle, but that puddle's usually not there for very long, maybe a day or two. And we don't see a lot of ruts after rain, to be honest with you, in that area when the pavilion's being rented and stuff. I do know people park all over the place. Sometimes I think when you build a parking lot, you limit the space utilized by the farmer's market, because now the farmer's market will be setting up in the parking lot. You know, instead of shortening up, they're going to have to stuff themselves all in the back of the building and on the sides, where I think you limit some of that space of the parking if you build a big parking lot. You know, it's just like the fence at Camp Oakdale or with the railing we were talking about. If I eliminate the railing, I could make more parking up there, maybe along the grass in front of the soccer fields, you know. So the large pavilion, I think, is a gem. When you go to a lot of places, you have to walk to drop your stuff off. Most of the parks I've been to have wooden telephone pole guardrails that you have to work around when you get there. You know, we all observe, I'm sure, when we go out of town and look at other places and say, wow, that's kind of a cool idea. You know, the large pavilion is really an open canvas that allows people to utilize it how they need to utilize it. And sometimes putting things in can be a restriction. I'm not trying to change anyone's mind. That's just my personal opinion. So,
Mr. Chair, point of order to move the motion.
Is there a motion? Uh-oh.
There's no motion.
Oh. Do I make the motion then?
Yes.
Motion to approve the SIF. Stuff.
Second.
As is.
Second
she seconded.
One? I seconded. That
all
was
in
me.
Favor?
I own that one.
Aye.
Oppose?
Oppose.
Oppose.
So,
4-2.
There's 6 of us. Approve 4-2. Okay. So, the next. I don't think we need to do this, to consider an act on a motion to form an election nominating committee. That's not how we nominate. It's time to nominate chair, vice chair again. And we don't have that committee anymore. That was taken out of our bylaws. Next month, we will just make the nominations, and we vote the following month. Okay? To consider an act on a motion to set the 2026 regular monthly meeting dates of the Park and Recreation Commission. Schedule meeting dates are as follows. All meetings will be held at 6:30 in the town council chambers. This is a requirement to turn these in to the town clerk.
I move that the meeting schedule printed in the agenda be adopted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. The next one. Morgan has made me aware that she doesn't have time right now to be the carnival committee chair. So we're looking for volunteers for someone who may want to be the carnival committee chairperson.
It's a lot of fun.
pushed her away.
You may.
So I either need to step down as chair, or I need essentially a partner that I can work with for it that might be able to write the agendas if I am out of state. I have been traveling quite a bit for my job, and trying to balance my work with this. I love doing the carnival. It is very much a passion of mine, but I need help.
So I know I appreciate, and I think everybody appreciates what you've done over the years, but it's fair to say, you know, we haven't had a carnival meeting all year.
Yeah.
So we...
not all year.
We have not had one since the carnival.
Fiscal year. Yes, fiscal year, I agree with.
So I do think we need to try to find someone that can do this. Now, we're missing a few people. We didn't think to ask Mary about this, did we?
She can't.
From the... See, one of the things the chair gets to do is appoints a chair. But I don't want to do that. So let me talk to the other members that aren't here. And we'll, so I'll table this right now.
Seconded.
The next motion is to set the dates for the Park and Rec Commission Carnival Committee meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So moved.
Sounds like chair material right there to me.
No.
Flexing some muscle over here.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion so carried. Okay. We're almost out of the tape. Sorry. Communications. I have no communications. Remarks from the public. Remarks from the public. Remarks from the public. Remarks from Town Council Liaison Southard.
There's really not much I could say at this point other than when we get the pavilion rules, we should also get updated. So I went to TARP. TARP wants everything all at once. So updated pavilion rules, updated fee schedules for all of our areas. They want that all at once. That motion with 80 people requiring... somebody from Public Works to be there, that all has to be put in together. Okay. If we could do that. Okay.
Hear that, Pete? Thank you, Kate. Anything else?
Nope.
Thanks. Remarks from Recreation Director Bushway.
None for me, thank you.
All right, remarks from commissioners. Commissioner Chase.
I remember when our meetings always went this long.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. That was my comment.
Commissioner Plakas?
For Kate's benefit, nothing to add.
I'm all set.
Morgan?
You all need to watch Tinkerbell.
You all set? I have none either. Motion to adjourn.
Happy Thanksgiving. To each and new
year. I get a second.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. 8:55, is it? What is it?
It might be closed.
Oh, until 10.
Okay.
Is there a mailbox? Is there a mailbox in Town Hall, Mr. Mayor? Is there a mailbox here? I got mail, but I need to mail. It's all posted.
Here, I'll help at the carnival. I just don't want to share.